3, 2, 1, go.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Abba.
Hey, Caitlin, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to see you bright and early in the morning.
I know, you're not used to seeing me except at nighttime. We switched our recording times today, so it's a Sunday morning here.
And I'm in the afternoon. I think this is a moderate day. We're both in the sunshine. This is very rare.
I know, it's so much nicer. I think we're sunshine people. I'm not a night person.
Really are. I'm not a morning person.
Yeah.
I'm not a night person.
We're daytime people. We're just daytime people.
We're big daytime people. Oh my goodness, yeah. But it's really bright. Summer's checking in Kenya. It's been cold a lot, but like the last 3 days, it's been sunny each day. So my serotonin is up.
Feels nice. We're like coming towards the end-ish of summer. Have I told you about the mourning doves at my house?
No. What is a mourning dove?
It's a bird. They have this very specific song. If I played it, I think you'd recognize it.
Just try and
from
tweet
when
it.
You lived in. I don't think I can do that.
You can make bird calls, Caitlin. But you see how I fully trusted that you'd be able to.
So there, I know, but no, that's something that I'm not ready to try right now. So there's been like a mourning dove that has had like so many sets of eggs this summer outside of my house. And this is the fourth round of eggs. And it's wild because I just assumed birds had like one round of eggs a year and then that was it, you know, in the spring. But I looked it up online and mourning doves, they call them clutches. And a clutch is typically two eggs at a time, which is what the birds outside have been having. And this is the fourth round of clutches. They can have up to 6 a year. So that's like 12 baby birds a year.
But they've had 4 clutches in one summer?
That yeah, like just one summer. Mm-hmm. It started in like April. And now and it's wild. So they've been, I can see them, like they're right outside. And they're in like this, like in the sun, that's like where their nest is, just on this thing that's sitting off from the shed. Yeah. And it's been so cool to watch. I'm just like,
do they sing in the morning? Why are they called morning doves?
I guess it's because they sing in the morning. Should I Google a morning dove sound? I think you'll recognize it.
Google a morning dove sound.
Morning dove.
I really like, first of all, I love how like there's a couple of friends who've cropped up in my circle who are like really into birding. And I'm like, I really enjoy the nerding of birders and having information on like different birds. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. Also, I've never thought, you know, the way you said you thought they have just like one set of laying a year. I've never thought about like how many times. A bird. I presumed they're like chickens, and
one.
Chickens lay all year.
Oh,
no,
I didn't even think about that. Okay, so a morning. Okay, do you want me to actually do it? I don't know.
Yes,
if this
please put it
work.
Close to the mic. I know that bird,
and they do the woo hoo
yeah.
thing. That thing. You know which one I'm talking about? Did you hear it? No, I just missed.
Yes! I like that sound. It's so cozy.
I know. It is. It is a super cozy sound in birds. So that's been the happening thing this summer. It's been really cool to watch. And I love birds. I got a little into birding when I was living in San Diego. And during quarantine shutdown, everything. It was like a lot of the trails were empty and you could just go watch the birds. So I got some binoculars and I've been trying to learn more about birds.
I know the white ring finch. I was given like tidbits on them. It has like a white ring around like its right eye. And they're like gray, blackish. I don't know really anything. They come out though to like, they drink the morning dew and they're like really tiny and pretty. But that's the only bird that I know right now. But speaking of animals who are showing up outside our houses, these monkeys, there's this set of like monkey family.
No.
Okay,
way.
So I live in like, you know, I live in like the cities, like yeah. There's apartments all around like where I live. There's, you know, there's trees. Nairobi is like supposed to be like one of the, you know, the green cities, we have a national park and there's like, but you know, the government and capitalism, we destroy, we have been steadily destroying all of the green spaces. Yep. But where I am is like pretty, you know, apartment heavy.
Yeah.
Tell me why I'm on a call. This is the second time also this month, but like this one was way, the first time it was like another time loosely I was in my living room and I would like see just monkeys running across my balcony and there's always a baby. But then on Friday, this family comes again and they're like literally like 15 monkeys. Do you know, like there's 15 monkeys in my balcony. How can there be 15 monkeys in my balcony in like Nairobi? Like, I was like, where the hell have they come from? Have they come from the park? Are they lost? And there's like two babies. There's a mother just holding a baby. The baby's like trying to peer into my room. I'm just like into the window. I'm like, should I close it? Are they going to come in? And will they charge me? Should I get food? And how did you end up here? Why are you? I was just like, my gosh, Pepper, of course, is like freaking out. But
oh, was Pepper like, trying to go monkeys? After them?
Yes, I closed the door immediately, but I was just like, well, hopefully no one notices like the crack in the window on either side. Oh my gosh. Oh, but I really like monkeys. Gosh. I've always wanted like a monkey pet, but you know, like when humans say it doesn't work out. Yeah. I remember reading this thing in like, you remember when Cosmopolitans were always in the salon when we were like in primary school?
Yes.
When you're 10 years old. All
those and you're reading magazines. Like, make him, make
how
him
how to
moan.
Make him crazy in 10 minutes. How to
Yes.
Why did we have access to that information?
Oh, I feel like gosh. It was way and it was more... like definitely not like accurate information either.
Caitlin, every month it was like the 10 top ways to drive him crazy. The next month it was like the top 6 and then it would be like the 12. How are they? Every month they were telling us the same thing. Anyway, I remember once reading this like story in the Cosmo though about this lady who adopted or like kept a monkey and was like, I'd raised this ape. I don't
is
know.
Is it the one that ripped her face off?
No, it's the one who was like masturbating to human porn.
Wait, the monkey was?
Yes. I've never forgotten. I think I was like in the 7th grade when I read that story and I'm like, I've always wanted a monkey pet, but every time it crosses my mind, I'm like, and then it still turned into a human. And like it, this monkey, I don't know if it had been, it had been like consuming pornography. And then it started like showing, act, seeming kind of like sexually aggressive towards the woman. It was a couple. And I was just like, that's a bit too much. So no, I even as the baby was cute and looking in the window, I was just
Cosmo
like, I know about y'all.
Scared you away from ever having a monkey.
Pretty oh much, yeah. I've never tried to like double click and see if there's any science behind this, even though I know everything else they said was a lie. I should probably check into that. Maybe I can have a you, monkey yeah, pet one day.
That should
I've
be
never thought about
into,
it before now.
Was that Cosmo article accurate? Oh my gosh.
I bet it wasn't. Gosh, I'm glad I've said this now. Maybe one day when I have a really big garden, I can have a monkey. Pepper can have a monkey brother.
Pepper would never. Pepper would be hunting that monkey. For
Pepper
sure.
Would kill that monkey.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Baby.
Well, yeah. Aside from the monkeys, how's everything else going? How's your, let's do wellness check-in. How are things?
Wellness check time. Things are good. I mean, today is really good. It's sunny.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. You know, good things. I think it had been, these last 2 weeks had had some heaviness around, you know, some like career, work-related things. And so that was a little difficult to navigate, but I think something that's been, and it's been something I'm processing kind of in the last month and a half-ish. I think I haven't really figured out how to articulate this or like what I'm condensing as what I'm taking forward with it. But like, it's been a really good season of where there's a lot, you know, it was my birthday celebration.
Mm-hmm.
I traveled a lot with friends. I was spending a lot of time with community and my family and generally like a lot of things that I really enjoy. But then there was also this like thing that was really heavy and super shitty that was also kind of alongside that exact, that same season. But I would say in the last 2 weeks, just like realizing, I don't know, like the ability, just the duality of being able to not even get comfortable, but like, I think this is one of the times that I've been able to like clearly feel like I'm practicing and experiencing
just because there's something like really shit that I'm concerned about and caring about, I'm not going to let it meddle all the other things. I don't know, like, where it's almost like, because I feel like whenever with my, you know, not, you know, because I can dissociate a lot and like avoid things and like bury things, where it's like, it's still, I'm confronting the things. So it's not like I'm ostriching, so I'm confronting the thing, but also not letting it seep. And I'm hoping that's something that I can like take forward, because again, life is just like,
yeah, it's like that forever.
Always something. Yeah. And like, what does it look like? Yeah. What
does it look like? Do you feel like
deep grief and joy at the same
time? Has it been easier to navigate that just because you've been leaning more into your community? Or, I mean, because I know like we've talked about how you usually like when stressful things are going on, you kind of like separate yourself from everyone.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And an excellent segue for today. But like, that's a really good point. I think this has been one of the seasons where I haven't leaned in as hard to retreat. So let's say if whatever was happening was kind of triggered the day before my birthday, I'd already like committed to like, I was kind of already entering a season of like connection and wanting to celebrate and like leaning into like being a part of like my community and like just celebrating myself and celebrating loving each other. So it wasn't possible to, which it's still, I considered it like, what does it look like if I just like disappear and like go deal for a little bit? But that's not what I'd wanted to do. So the fact that I started the first week in that energy where, yes, there's this thing happening, but also I'm having a friendship circle with my friends the next morning, and like I'm spending a lot of time with my family, and then I'm having my big birthday celebration and like all of the ripple effects after. And then I had all these activities already like planned with other friends the next week, and I was out of town. So I think because it started like, it was a hard start of like connection as a part of processing, probably did lead to that. I didn't, oh, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of it that way as part of maybe why it did feel like that. And what does it look like when you're like really holding on to still like the good and the spaces that feel really good, even as that thing is happening, right?
Yeah.
That is the thing. I should go journal about that.
Journaling is good. I've been meaning to do some of that myself.
I'm trying to learn it a little bit more, relearn it. How about you? How are you doing?
Doing good.
Minus your morning doves.
Yeah. I've kind of been navigating some weird stuff lately too. And yeah, I mean, I similar to you, like things at work, which I think that's always, there's like, work is always going to be heavy, you know, just the nature of what I'm doing right now. But there's definitely been, you know, a lot of good stuff happening too. I'm kind of, I've been trying to implement some, a little bit more like discipline in my life, like, which sounds, I don't know, that sounds so funny to say, but like getting in better habits. And even when I like don't feel, you know, I feel like before I used to be like, oh, I don't feel like doing something, I'm not gonna do it. But also knowing that like that's a lot of tricks my mind will play on me sometimes, where I'll actually feel like so much better after I do something that's like good for me, instead of just being like, oh, I'm being nice to myself and not. So I'm kind of like implementing the discipline aspect of like exercising more, and like even when I don't want to take a long walk, like taking a long walk, because I always like, I love walking and I always feel so much better when I do. So little things like that. And I am now like, I think 3 weeks that I haven't had coffee in the morning.
Which is, oh my gosh.
Which is not something that I like, you know, I love coffee. I love the like kind of like the ritual of making coffee. Like I know like that's definitely always been like a comfort thing to me. But I think like recently I've been noticing that like it doesn't really like feel that good when I drink coffee, and then I go
like right away
into work. Yeah, like I go into work and then I have to go right into court, and I'm already so anxious and nervous, and like the coffee is like definitely contributing to some anxiety and some like physical effects that like don't, you know, like the crash that doesn't feel that great. And like also like having to pee like 1,000 times when I'm in court and I can't, you know. So I kind of like, it wasn't even like intentional at first. I was just like, oh, I'm gonna like switch and like try out matcha for a little bit and like see how it feels. Cause there's like this component in matcha, like L-theanine or something, that is supposed to like help with anxiety. And so I
really
have been,
also I've mm-hmm. never I didn't know like there's homemade, of course if it's in cafes it's possible to have homemade matcha. Mm-hmm. I don't have access to that, so I don't even know what that looks like. Like, is the process of making it kind of like making a coffee or a hot chocolate?
Yeah, so it's just like a powder. So I just like, you know, make pour hot water in the powder. And then I've been kind of like trying out like what I like with it, you know, like sometimes I'll just drink it like with the hot water and it's like a pretty kind of earthy tasting, you know, it's pretty earthy without anything. Or sometimes I'll do like maple syrup and add a little bit of like, you know, some kind of milk in it too and some cinnamon. And I'm just like trying it out, but it really has made a difference for me, obviously, like the, and it's not, I didn't like quit drinking coffee. I'm just like not going to be like an every morning coffee person now. Because it definitely was like making me pretty anxious.
And you can feel a difference, like, especially mm-hmm. of course the matcha. Did you like switch at the exact same time? Like you dropped coffee and started matcha?
Yeah, I did it all at once, which was like probably not good. I don't know why, but I tend to do things like that. So.
You gotta switch on to the next drug, bro.
Yes. So, so I've kind of just been like, oh, well, if I want to like go out with go out for a coffee or something, I like, we'll do it like that or like on the weekends. But it definitely just, it wasn't feeling good to like be super coffee caffeinated, go to work, go to court, crash, then just feel like super anxious and crashy.
What time do you usually crash in the morning and what time are you having your coffee?
I feel like I would normally crash around like 11 a.m., and I would like start drinking coffee around like 8. I would take it like to work. And then with the matcha, kind of like, I mean, it might be like part of like the routine that I'm doing it to, but I have been drinking it at home and like kind of.
Also, you get to pause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't get that jittery crash. I don't know. And again, like nothing against coffee. Coffee has been like my favorite thing about mornings forever, but it was one of those things that just like wasn't sitting well right now with like how my mornings at work go, you know.
If it doesn't feel good anymore, then
it's not like, good right now.
The things that mm-hmm. you just, yeah, if it, you know. Oh, man, I was telling, I think the universe is like, okay, I mean, I've not looked into how I feel about how coffee is making me feel necessarily, even though I've been kind of worried about my sleep, my sleep patterns recently and needing to like fix that. But literally, first of all, I'm in my peak coffee making at home.
I love making coffee.
So my coffee is
home.
Better than ever. Yeah. I've been making my coffee spicier. Like I've been adding spice to my coffee. So cinnamon, nutmeg, cardamom. I know I'm out of cardamom right now.
So
and then
good.
Just like a pinch of black pepper. So it's like has a little bit of
like a
kick to it. Yeah. And so that's really good. It is quite good. And I have like different kinds of different coffee options as well. So that's, and I really like watch the ritual of it. I feel like for me with a lot of things, even I remember when I was a smoker in college, like it's not even the thing. It's the motion, it's the pattern and the ritual and the fact
I
that at this time.
I completely agree.
You know,
I like to make everything in my life a ritual. Like it's like the part of me that likes to romanticize my life.
Yes. But
so
like,
I totally
makes, like,
get
you
that.
You feel good every morning, like making your mind. So I'm definitely like enjoying that a lot right now. But literally a friend of mine was like, and she makes really good coffee too. And I stayed over at her place. It was her birthday yesterday. And she was like, I think we should just make tea. She didn't sleep. She didn't get to sleep last night, right? And she's like, I've been like trying to reevaluate like my, if it's the coffee, because even her sleep has been like kind of off, but like more of like the whole night not sleeping thing. And wondering again about like, how has it actually been feeling in the morning? For that, which I was asking, when is your crash? Like, is there a timeline that I can probably check how it's been feeling in my life as well? But this is the second person. Like now you're the third. It's the second person today who's telling me about like reevaluating. And she's like, I think I have to like take a pause from coffee for a while.
Yeah.
And someone else earlier this week was also like, they were really into like a midday coffee, but they're like, it's making their throwing off like their digestive process. These are all people who've like really loved not taking coffee as like, oh, I need caffeine in my system. People who, our relationship with like how we consume coffee is very similar. And I was like, oh, I've been like trying not to think about if that's why my sleep is off. If it's the coffee.
Well,
and my coffee is so good right now, but I'm like, oh, I should probably check.
Well, and I'm very much someone who likes to kind of switch things up. Like, I don't like to have this consistent thing going for too long. And it's like, this has been like my morning coffee routine for like how many years, like for so long. And it's like, okay, it's kind of nice to like switch things up and just see how you feel. And if you don't like it, like who cares? Like, I don't have anything to lose.
That's true. You have absolutely nothing to lose. And I was also in like a cup of tea every morning for many years before that. But I feel like matcha would be so cute. I find matcha in itself like very romantic looking.
Yeah, the color is like very, I don't know. It's like a little like happy kick just seeing like a color like that, you know?
Dopamine kick you need in the morning. But yeah, I mean, yeah, speaking of, like earlier, what you were saying around this season of leaning into community, we wanted to talk about, like friendships and adult friendships.
Making new friends as adults, which is something that we've talked about this a lot, but it's something that people have brought up to me a lot, and how so many people think it's like extremely difficult to make friends as an adult. And I feel like we've both kind of like navigated like what works for us and what doesn't, and like how to do it, because it's hard. It can be really hard. So
it is. It can be. What's your frame of like, you know, what's your frame of mind for like adult friendship making right now? Like, have you made any new friends in the last year? You've moved towns. So for sure.
Yeah. And I think like for me, it's always like it's very easy for me to make new friends like at work. Cause when I move, it's like typically for work. So I'm always kind of really leaning into that. And I
find that so interesting though, that you meet almost always like an actual solid like work friend, like who's going to be your actual social friend, not just like, you know?
Yeah, I think most of like my friends when I move places are like through work, school, or people that I've lived with, you know. You know, now because you know, some like work friends like I'll always have, but then I, you know, a lot of times, especially with like this type of job, like I have felt more than like other jobs that I need like outside of work friends, because it is like so heavy, and I kind of want something where I'm not talking or like thinking of or reminded of work all the time, you know? So this has been like a little like new territory for me, kind of figuring like having to be more intentional about meeting people outside of like my immediate realm.
And how do you navigate that? Like, because I know I've made work friends before, and I mean, with Donnie who was with us last in our last recording is a new work friend as well. We've known each other, but I feel like we've started spending time outside of work only recently. But what was I saying? Yeah, I always, you know, whenever I think, right now I feel very anchored in where I live. I think I want to live in, like, at least definitely have Kenya, Nairobi. Not maybe not Nairobi, but Kenya is my base. But like, what do like future career considerations look like? And I think for me, they're always in the back of my head. I used to be very open, but I feel like I'm getting more resistant to the idea of leaving the country, because I'm like, but my community base is here. What would it look like making friends somewhere else? And I also have this fear, which I guess I would select a space to work. I wouldn't select that place if it was in that kind of environment. But I'm like, what if you end up going to some place where you just kind of like work with old people who are not really your type of people, and they like are not necessarily interested in like building actual connections with the kind of person that I am. What if it's outside of Africa? Will I just be like having like casual friendships in the office, and then I go home to be lonely? And I feel like for me, the opportunity cost of like career progression and access to wealth, for me, there's a limit to how much I'm willing to chase for that if I'm going to not have like the base of community that I desire. So how's that been like when you're actually navigating? Like, how do you even make friends outside of work? And what would it look like if you didn't have like the dope people you have in your workplace?
Yeah. Well, again, I've always been really lucky through like school or like school and work everywhere I've lived that people have been really great. But I think, and this is something that like I've been working on too, is like, and I think I've always kind of carried this a little bit since I have moved so much and kind of I've kept the closeness and remained close with people from everywhere I've lived. But just because I've had such good experiences meeting people everywhere and making awesome friends and connections, like, I'm like, okay, I'm in like abundance mindset when it comes to like friends and community. Like really, like relationships are abundant. Like there's no limit. Like there's, so I think like now,
I like that.
I think before I was always in like the more like individualistic, like I have to make friends on my own. Like I'm having to go out to places by myself and meet people. And while I've been here, I've been really leaning into more like making friends through other people, which I don't know, like before. Your friend's friend. Yeah, yeah. Like I think there were definitely times where I felt like a little more like, I don't know if like insecure is the word, but like, I guess that's the best fitting word, like insecure about that. Cause it's like, well, I'm not making my own friends and I'm always going to be like an outsider. And then like one day I was just like, why would I think that? Like if my,
and everyone is someone else's friend.
Yeah. Like we don't have like a monopoly or ownership on like who is like friends with us. And like people are introducing me to other people because they like me and think that like I'd mesh or get along with these, you know what I mean? Like, it's so weird that I even like went into situations like that. So I think now like I have like a very like extroverted friend here who just is like friends with everyone, like knows everyone. And I've definitely like have made connections through people like she has introduced me to. And like, I don't feel weird or bad about it that like they were her friends first or maybe, you know what I mean? Like it's nothing like that.
I love when my friends become friends.
Yeah. And so like definitely leaning into that. And then there's still like the side of me that's like trying to pursue other people like on my own. Like I recently like joined like a yoga studio here and like I go by myself and I just talk to people in the class and I, you know, like things like that where I'm like feeling like, okay, like this is a slower, like more intentional thing, but it's a way that I'm like feeling like I'm making friends and building a community through that myself. So that's kind of like little things that I've done, but I feel like the biggest change for me is like really leaning into people who introduce me to other people and then like making my own connection, like pursuing that, like trying to get their number. Like I don't know. I take like friendship like way more seriously than dating.
Dating. Like, I date friends hard. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like, but I hear you on the thing for, I mean, I'm saying everyone is someone else's friend, but I definitely had, and I guess it is an insecurity in that part for like, and for me, it's not even necessarily like, oh, I need to make my own friends, but it's just like, I don't know, being worried that someone is feeling pressure to be my friend just because we had like a common friend, and then is there a limit to like how much friends I can be? It almost feels like I need to be a second level friend because I'll, you know, I but I feel like something which, and in the last year, like been really deliberate about it, and I've been really enjoying it for like how my community space has also like adjusted based off of that. But especially when I'm in a group friendship, if I feel like, because I'm a good, you know, like a not a follower is not the word, but like there's many spaces. It's like, let's say my brother, like my older brother, there's a lot of times like all I had friends who were like his friends and like, you know, and so our circles work and we like spend time together. But like at the baseline of it, I still consider this person like, this is my brother's friend and they're my friends too. But I, even when I introduce them, I'll be like, oh yeah, this is Caitlin, my friend through da da da. And like, so it almost like you're putting like a limit to how much I have to invest in this friendship. And so something I've been like doing more, which I didn't start it deliberately either. I don't even know where the switch happened. But where I'm, me as Abba, like, and it's scary, like the first date outside of the friend group.
I know, yes, yes. It's the way more nervous than I've ever been on a like romantic date is like dating a friend, you know?
Oh my, I've never, that's the place where I worry the most about like, what if we don't have anything to talk to? Because like when you're dating, it's just like, whatever, you're just being charming and saying like charming. Yeah. But now if I'm trying to be your friend, I'm coming to show myself, and what does that look like, even in conversation?
Yes.
Yeah.
And potential rejection feels like so much scarier when it's in the friend setting. Like, I don't, like, if someone romantically wants to reject me, like, whatever. But it is that's a lot more issue, pressure.
But yeah, if you reject me as a friend, it's me.
I know. It's like, oh, you just, yeah. No, that is scary. But it is, like, there. I totally know what you mean of, like, kind of making, like, the hierarchy and, like, limiting where and how that friendship. And it's like, why have we ever done that? Like, people pull you in because they like you and think other people will too, you know?
It's probably a weird middle school thing that was set up where there'd be the queen bee who's the main friend and everyone should, you know, those things that you probably don't realize you're creating like a pattern. Mm-hmm. And we didn't break it maybe early enough or didn't even realize we're playing in it. But I didn't realize I did that. I literally realized that this year when I was trying to like figure out like what is it about that these friendships and why have they adjusted a lot in the last year. When they've been like good friendships that I've had for like maybe the last 3 years. And it's just like, oh, it's just like, what does it look like? Like actually in the last year, 2 years, but like, yeah, I'm Ava and I like you as a friend. And it's scary. What if we don't connect? What if our energies don't mix as well when we're one-on-one? But like, let's see where it goes. And like, so definitely like, I'm, yeah, now having to be like very deliberate and have friend dates with some of the people. And like, I've had like 3 dates that are in my head this year where, oh my gosh, it was so scary. Like,
so scary. Yes.
They're so scary. And I remember there's this one friend of mine who I wanted to come to the podcast. Karen is going to be joining us in the podcast soon. But like, we were meeting. We had like a work date, like a co-work date. So we were like, okay, let's meet up at Lava Latte and we'll work. And I was just like, oh my God, I've literally never hung out with this girl outside of like anyone. We kind of like newly know each other. And she's like very like, you know, I don't know, like she's very chill and she like talks so beautifully. And I'm like, I don't have anything to say that necessarily fits into what I presume. And I just remember like we're sitting next to each other on this table and we kind of talk. And I was just remembering like as I was working, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to like think. What do we talk about next? Should I talk too much? You know, let's just leave time. And I was so nervous. And I was telling her the other day, and she was like, oh my God, I would never have guessed. And she's like, I was in my head before that. And so we're all like panicking. Yeah. And of course we are like, we hang out all the time. And she's a great friend. But it's just like, you know, isn't she was it? Just like, okay, the first time I met you, you had like green lipstick. So she'd like put this projection of like, she's so cool. And I need to like come with like my edgy cool self.
The
and
edgy,
I
was like, oh my God, we're both just like energy.
Panicking there on our laptops. And so we like each other and we don't know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, do you ever think about too, it's like the people that you're now like so close with, you're kind of like, what was life like before you? I can't even remember. Like some people kind of like mesh in so like seamlessly or you can't. I have a friend here and like she's a friend through work, but now like we're just like work and life friends, you know? And the other day we were sitting there and we were like, what were we doing before we like started talking or like when did we first start talking and who texted who first and like how did we, you know? And now it's like I can't even imagine like what was I doing before her. But it's funny how, but yeah, like leaning into that is so important. And I also think like it's okay. I feel like kind of trying to navigate like a friendship with someone or putting yourself out there and like, yeah, like it doesn't even have to be like rejection, but just like both being like, okay, like you're cool, but like we're like not, you know, we may just be more like casual acquaintances and like that's okay too. And I don't need to feel obligated to like now start, you know?
Yeah, because there is that weird energy sometimes and I feel like I feel like it used to be more in our 20s, which honestly, I feel like I've been kind of, maybe I've been on the pursuing end of that version too, but I feel like, I mean, I guess I only know it when I'm on the receiving end. Maybe you don't know when you're the pursuer in that kind of situation. But like, I feel like, yeah, also as you read yourself better and can read spaces better, it's kind of, if the energies are matching and it works, it's kind of really awkward when someone is really pursuing like an intenser relationship that like your energy is responding to. So maybe I think maybe that is part of even where my insecurities came from, where I don't want to be the pursuer because I've been the pursued and I know how weird it is when I am like, I don't want anyone to like if you don't want to be my friend, I don't want to be like trying to be your friend, maybe. Yeah. So maybe that's also part of it.
But it's definitely like you have to put yourself out there too, you know, like
you
in,
do.
In uncomfortable ways. And I've definitely like I've been the pursuer and I've like been rejected by people like that. And it stings. But again, like that's when I just have to like reel myself back in to like relationships are abundant, you know, like we're so like self-limiting in our own like abilities to like humans naturally want to connect. Right. Like I know that about myself and I think other people and just like, even if I'm feeling like low, like one of the best things I can do is like go to the grocery store or something and like start making eye contact with people and just say hi to people.
Energy of connection.
Yeah. And then like I feel more comfortable and confident maybe to like pursue like actually like a further conversation with someone else or like make the move to ask someone to hang out. Like
I hear it. And like again, I speaking of like when you're feeling low, yeah, but like the putting yourself out there and being the first one to like ask for a date, it's it's so scary. But like, yeah,
so
I've been doing more of that for sure. But like, again, another new friend, I was feeling, I had like a low week, a really low day at one day last week. And we were having, again, new friends. When do you stop calling someone a new friend? Maybe when you've made five other friends since you made them as a friend. But if you're my latest friend, I feel like it feels like you're a new friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it was someone who, it's been, we're still getting to know each other. So it's like, you know, maybe I can't, they don't know like a lot of details of my life, but there's already kind of like an intimacy and you've shared certain things that, and also shared that you're kind of like committed to this relationship, which is also, my God. Why are friendships so intense? I love them. So it's like someone I'm really excited about and someone who like our energies really flow well together, but like we've connected largely at spaces where I'm at very, not high energy, but like light and bright energy. And I was having like literally like a depressed day where I didn't want to leave the bed, let alone leave the house and connect with someone. And I think both, I didn't want to connect with someone, but like, you know, the way they interact with my energy when I'm feeling like insecure, is also like a really, it's been really beautiful to experience. And so I was kind of, you know, they drew me out and I was going to go for like, spend time together. But I was also really nervous. I was really nervous. I think I was telling like, you know, what, it's almost like you're going to, I don't know, it's weird, but it's like, are you ready for like this side of myself? Like, do we need to solidify this relationship a little bit more? I don't want to feel like I'm a weight and a burden on you, like in the fourth month of our friendship. And
yeah.
I mean, it is what friendship is, like, you know, being able to like take each other in like the different parts of who you are. But I feel like even showing up there and showing and acknowledging that that is how I was feeling when I showed up there. And also saying, yeah, I don't feel good and I'm going to like do my best to like interact. But I'm not feeling chatty. I'm not feeling anything really. And I'm probably going to be feeding off of your energy. You know, usually probably I'm the one who's bringing the energy. And I feel like even with just that, the dynamic, it already felt like there was like ease in the relationship, but it almost felt like, oh, I'd bunched my shoulders and it was just like, oh, like a sigh. Yeah. Like it's just like, yeah, like, and it's a small thing. It's like showing up when you're in a bad mood.
It's big.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, will you still like me if I'm not, like, you know?
Well, there's so much pressure to like be the same like version of yourself for someone all the time. And like, it's really like freeing to be able to express different sides of you to someone, you know, because it is like that nervous, like, oh, are you not going to like me if I'm not just like fun and energy and, you know,
good vibes, good vibes.
Yeah.
And I think even like in romantic relationships, like what you're saying, you feel pressure to show, you almost feel like pressure to show up in the version of yourself they fell in love with. And then people try to like lock themselves in that version. But like, but like, does it look like we just are, you know?
Yeah. But I think we definitely need to give people more credit to like want to be around and exist with us in like all sides of ourselves. Like, because most people, I think, do. But it is.
Most people do. Because you like existing around your friends and like On almost like not even almost even more when they're in spaces when they're finding it harder to show up as themselves. So like, why would we presume? I don't know where that stuff is from. I don't know where those patterns and like that those mind patterns are formed, but I do I do feel it a lot. But yeah, still though, still putting yourself out there and like pushing through discomfort and like,
One of my friends recently had like reached out to me because she's always like she's like lived in the same place for a really long time, kind of like has had the same job for a long time, like doesn't really have friends at work that she would necessarily hang out with outside of work, and like she's always like, how do you like, I don't get it, like how do you like make friends and get past like the surface level? And I think that's where it gets hard space, for people. She tried out like one of the, you know how they have like dating apps, but like for friends,
Bumble
now?
Friendship.
Mm-hmm. So she was like trying that out. I'll have to like catch up with her and see like how it, you know, how it played out. But I think it's definitely like, it would be a lot harder for me if I, you know, never had someone, like if my work situation was like, I've just been like so fortunate with work and school, like who I've gotten to meet. And I think a lot of people are like trying to navigate like, okay, if I've been in the same place for so long, work people aren't my thing, like how do I build community? And I think that like the apps are like a good, you know, definitely like a good option for people, especially if you're not like, it is hard if you don't have someone that's gonna like be that extroverted friend that's bringing everyone in from every which way to like regroup. Like you are kind of more on your own to navigate how to meet people, and that's hard.
It is, but I clicked on Bumble Friends just a little bit because I was curious also, like, how does this go? And there was a time that I was considering it, but then I was also like, okay, I need to, like, set enough time and intention for my friends who already I have before I start, like, swiping right on new friends. But, yeah, the apps is definitely a good idea. Mm-hmm. And I know of a lot of people. I have like people around me who are Instagram. They met their Instagram friends. They're like friends who met on Instagram and were intentional enough to. Because you know how there's people who you have like an actual relationship with and banter on IG, and they're not like your real friends. But if they're like in your city, in your state, like what does it look like? Just trying to like remove that relationship from like the safe social media version. Because I know some people have been like friends for like 10 years and they met on IG and Twitter. I know people are Twitter and IG friends quite a bit.
Yeah, it's like technology has definitely changed a little bit how we can like connect with people. And, you know, like our online world is just as much like real life as like the, you know, in person these days. I feel like there's definitely like such an overlap and way to connect through people through apps and online and groups. And like now, like after like post COVID, I think there's still like so many online like meetups and stuff that people like can build community in their online spaces too, which is definitely cool. I don't know.
Yeah. And even like going for it now, like what you were saying about the yoga, like the spaces, what kind of things. I think if I was to, I guess we're kind of also like checking which spaces we found like kind of easier to be able to find people you can connect with. But the spaces where you're being your most self, where you like the thing that's happening there, you know, you love yoga. People who are probably going to be drawn to be there would probably like spending time together. If you're curious about birding, just like putting yourself out
like
there.
Yeah, like do like a group or something. Thing. Yeah.
Like I went to this ecstatic dance thing.
You did? That was really big in a town that I lived in. It was like people
in
did
Columbia?
That instead of church. No, in Asheville, North Carolina. It was like people did that instead of church. Yeah, ecstatic
dance. Not instead of church, but I
that
mean,
was their
praise
church.
And worship. Praise and worship is ecstatic dance if you're keeping it in a book. In actual church.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I went to this ecstatic dance thing, and in the circle for sharing at the end, like people were just, so the theme was freedom. And there was this girl who, like, just the... So she spoke twice, and it was just a random person who I hadn't noticed in the 3 hours that I'd been there. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, what you're talking about and what I've been talking about, I'm like, I don't know. I can't say we vibe because you're just saying things, but, like, the things where your mind frame is and how you're, like, approaching certain relationships with your body and how you're navigating freedom right now. I'm like, I'm curious about that person. At the end, I was just like, okay, let me just walk over and introduce myself. It's like, okay, like, hold on a second. And it's just like, yeah. And I literally just like, I guess, that, you know, like how you'd pick up someone who you're interested in. It's just like, I introduce yourself. I tell you that I'm actually, like, I'm excited about getting to know you. And like, I asked for her number. And it was, she was just like, yeah, like, we can meet at the next ecstatic dance, which is like, you're going to meet up before. We also could. And I was just like, it could turn into nothing. We might even, okay,
but it
we
could probably turn into something. Again.
But it could be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like, why not? Like,
honestly, why not? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like, if you're, I've been feeling like, I think I'm in a, like, a really big season where just like gratitude and anchoring in like my friendships and communities is such a big part. And right. Approaching that, like, really deliberately, and just like allowing, like, not letting my ego like be such a blocker in like how I want to like navigate that space, and just like being open. Mm-hmm. And like what you said also, like, just like approaching it with like a very abundance mindset, and you literally have nothing to lose and so much to gain, so why not? Yeah,
exactly. Oh my gosh, we love talking about friendship. I feel like I know, but we like end every podcast episode being like, we love talking about friendship. We love talking about love. We love talking about grief. We love talking about dreams. Like, okay.
Oh my gosh, we do love talking about all those things you've listed.
One of our favorite topics. We love talking about astrology. Oh my gosh, I know.
We have like 20 key favorite topics.
Just like, we just like talking about everything.
We like talking.
It's funny also, like, we don't even know really how we became friends, except the draw. There was a draw.
Exactly. And I know we've talked about this, and the draw, and at least I remember both articulating our resistance to the draw because I was, you know, mm-hmm. me, I was just like, okay, then it's too cool. And then it was like, okay, then we got
too cool. And then, yeah, but also like, and then look at what technology has done. We've been able to like maintain a friendship all these years later.
And I think there was a component. So there's the friendship that we had in college, but I feel like there was a component of like us having to kind of put ourselves out there for
we
our
did,
post-uni
yeah,
relationship to actually stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. We could have just been like, okay, you were cool, like, bye.
Yeah, know? And just like DM each other on IG every so often. Mm-hmm. I've done that with a lot of my other friends from undergrad, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh. Well,
here's to adult friendship making.
Yeah.
If that is... The Venus retrograde is a time which we're in right now, y'all. Relationship building, big relationship building energy, but also relationship destroying energy. So y'all be careful. But this time, this season, and probably for like balance of the year, this is a good time to like, cosmically, it's a good time to be like trying to build new connections.
Yeah, 100%.
Get into it. Yeah.
Okay, well, on that note, wait, can I end telling a stupid story that happened this week?
Please.
So this is like not related to anything, but I keep like giggling about it to myself. So like one of my coworkers like was going around the other day with like a box of grapes. Like someone had like, she like somehow had gotten a bunch of like bags of grapes like from the grocery store. And she was going around being like, does anyone want grapes? And I was like, heck yeah, I want grapes. And so she gave me this bag of grapes and I was like all excited. Oh, but they were raisins. Like they were.
Sorry?
They were like
raisins. Grapes?
No, the grapes were so old and gross. I need to show you a picture. Like this is, I took a picture and I was just like, why would you give me these grapes that were, look at this. Can you see this picture?
Grapes of wrath.
Literal raisins.
That is not a grape.
Yes, they that's what she gave me. And anyway, so I was just like looking at these things like, oh, thanks.
Did you look at them before you like took them?
No, she handed them to me and then I like looked at them when she walked away and I was just like, what the hell?
Did you put it directly in the trash?
Well, at first I like set them down because I didn't want like her to see them like in the trash, and then I was like, these are not edible, like they are full on grapes, like anyway, so That was like,
that colleague needs to be checked out. How are you gonna bring like pretty much like shriveled rotten grapes and share them? Like, are you okay?
I know. And then one of my other coworkers came up to me the next day and was like, I heard you got raisins too. And I was like, what is going on?
Did she give them to someone else?
Yes. And so
I'm
like
dead. I love the raisin ladies. That's a hero.
I know. And so I was just like, oh, that was so sweet of her. And then I was like, what the fuck? Anyways, so, you know, let's hope for an improvement from Raisin Week.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Be good, though. Talk to you later. All right. And happy raisining.
I know. Bye.
Bye.